Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't want anything topical. I don't want anything kind of like trying to give a message across. I just want silly, slapstick, non-topical, non-political, just complete and also wholesome, feel-good, romance-y. But Ben was like, yeah, it's exactly what I want. I want the content to make people feel good.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Balancing Acts. In this conversation, I talk to Will Robbins and Ben Cohen, aka The Lovely Boys. Perfect. Hello, I'm Steve Whiteley and welcome to Balancing Acts, a series of conversations with an array of creatives. We talk about their journey, the struggles they faced whilst progressing their career, strategies they used to unlock their creativity, how they balance their career with their personal lives, what impact this has had on their mental health, and lots more. So, some of you might recall that Will Robbins has been a previous guest on Balancing Acts. Since that conversation, he has combined forces with Ben Cohen, a comedian and filmmaker, and together they are The Lovely Boys, who, if you haven't come across them yet on Instagram or TikTok, create very lovely and very funny sketches about their bromance. So we have a very lovely chat about how they collaborate, why they decided to release sketches on social medias, and how they balance that with performing stand-up comedy and everything else in between. So without wanting to exhaust the word, it's a rather lovely chat. And if you like this episode, if you are enjoying Balancing Acts, then please do rate and review us on Apple and leave some lovely words. That would be very lovely of you. Okay, very much overkill situation here, but we are where we are. So over to The Lovely Boys. Perfect.
Testing.
Check. Yeah, you go on. That's good testing from you, Ben.
How about me?
Ben, you come in a little bit closer, please.
Testing. Much to phone.
Are both phones on the old silent? Yeah. It's all very professional here. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
I'm going to put it on airplane mode.
No 5G.
Yeah, let's do that.
No 5G, please. It's taking over the world.
Waters.
Yeah.
So we have Ben Cohen and Will Robbins in the building, aka The Lovely Boys.
Hello there.
Hello there, Stephen.
Lovely to see you both.
Nice to see you, mate.
Lovely.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very well. How are you both?
Good. It's a beautiful day. I'm not working, so this is good.
I feel good as well.
I feel good because
guns out.
Yeah, the guns are they are well and truly out.
Yeah.
How much are you lifting? How much are you lifting?
40.
Yeah. 40 bananas.
40 small men.
We were just talking before about a potential Lovely Boy sketch that you're going to shoot directly after this interview. Oh, is it go ahead? Because I'm excited because there's talk of me making a cameo.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Will's not sure.
Just thought about it. Will's eyes, I think it feels like I'm rushing into it.
Yeah, we need to write it out. But go on, if you think.
Okay, I'll tell you what my idea is.
Can you just come a little bit closer?
Yeah,
thank you.
So it's a casting. Yeah.
Yeah.
For... we don't know what's for yet. This is a bit we're going to have to write out.
Okay.
And it's going to be you telling us, like, just increasingly upscale sort of situations that we're in, but it's a non-speaking role. So we just have to be expressive with our hands and feet.
Lovely.
So, not hands and feet, hands and faces.
Okay.
So we start off small and you're telling us more stuff and then we just end up, we're kind of like jibbing out by the end, you know?
I really like the sound of it. Will doesn't seem as enthused right
Why
now.
Why just hands?
Why hands and faces.
Why can't we use our bodies as well?
Oh, yeah, bodies, whatever. I'm just saying it's a non-speaking role, so yeah. You know what I mean?
So we can use anything, not just hands and faces.
Non-speaking seems to have become a big part now of your content. I know content's a dirty word, but you've figured out that you don't need to add much dialogue into your sketches because you know, people are scrolling them and it's sort of you need to sort of like get them in quickly.
Yeah.
Is that right? What do you think?
Part of. Yes. I also think, I was listening to this podcast the other day with, I'm going to blank on their names, but three people that were like big SNL people back in like, I don't know, when it was 80s, 90s, something like that. And they were talking about how they would like really like labor over like sketches and think they had like really good cerebral ideas, but the ones that would always do best were always just like the stupid faces ones.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Everyone silly face. Keep it silly.
Yeah.
With
some
nice music. That's a hit.
That's it. That's it. It's a hit. Wrap up.
Yeah. That's
the formula. It's like
formula.
If you think about music industry, and you think about some of the biggest pop songs of all time.
Simple.
Just simple, like chord changes. Yeah. I love you, baby. I love you, crazy. I mean, I'm not quoting
come
a
back,
pop song.
Baby.
But,
yeah. Come back to Papa. Baby.
Come back to Papa.
Papa.
Yeah. So let's rewind. Let's do a little rewind. I think a lot of people watch your sketch and think, and I say I think, it's just because Will's told me they've messaged and said, you know, are you guys brothers? No, I'm saying people want to know. They want to know.
On the comments. Yeah.
They want to know. They want to know how you guys have come to be the Lovely Boys. You know, how do you know each other? What's the history? Take us back. When did you first realize that you were the one, each other's one, comedy one?
I don't know. At a gig
somewhere, doing stand-up in some pub somewhere.
We're talking about 2016?
Maybe the Cavendish
I remember like when I first saw Willie, because he was, maybe I'd seen him before. I know I had seen him before, probably at TNT or something like that, which is like an open mic night where you kind of start off. But it was another one. It was a Rising Star.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw him across the bar and he made a funny little face at me.
Ooh.
And I thought, I want to be friends with that guy. And I made it my mission.
Made a beeline for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the rest is history. I mean, yeah.
This was about 2016, I'm saying.
Yeah, probably 2016.
Yeah, because we were all on the sort of doing open mic circuit around, didn't we?
I think, but,
oh, really?
I haven't been doing it.
And then I think someone called Jimmy Bird put a sketch group together. And
yes.
Me, Ben, Esther, Paul Cox and Jimmy. So we did that for a bit, just called Unhinged.
And that was more, rather than Instagram, that was more sketches on YouTube.
Yeah, we did YouTube for a bit.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard, like there's five of us. Esther and Paul have got kids. Now Jimmy's got kids. It's quite hard to all just meet up. Ben now does. But yeah, and then that sort of fizzled out and then me and Ben still wanted to do it. So we would then just like, we should just carry on our own doing a new thing.
But we didn't for a long time, do we? It was basically when the lockdown happened and we couldn't do stand-up.
Yeah.
Willie came and moved in with me and my wife and my little boy. And,
true story. It's a true story, yes.
And we couldn't do stand-up when there was no one was doing anything. It was the day was basically about get food, eat food, right?
Mm. And so, film content.
And so, yeah, then it was
get
like, what
food,
else
get food, film content.
Yeah, so then we were just...
Slogan, T-shirt.
Yeah, get food, eat food.
Sleep. Repeat, do content, repeat.
Yeah.
And it was just fun, wasn't it? We were taking mushrooms quite a lot at the time as well.
I'm just going to put the gain up.
Gain, all about the gains.
Here we go. Here we go. Go on. Yeah, you're taking, so you're saying you were taking mushrooms.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Like I know a lot of people had like a terrible time during that.
But you were the lucky ones. You had a great time. Fun time.
Great time. It was, the weather was good. We didn't have anything to do apart from make content and make each other laugh. Yeah, it's
barbecuing, airbed in the garden, lolling, cooking, coming up with stupid ideas to film. Yeah, and we're just like, if we don't do it now, when the fuck are we ever going to do it?
So you were another one of those rare ones, because I was talking to Matty Hudson on the last episode, And he as well used his time wisely during lockdown.
Yeah, we noticed him, his like popping up on our feed.
Yeah,
so funny.
He was saying, you know, he spent his time learning how to edit, learning how to film. He didn't have that skill set before. But did you, Ben, and obviously I know you've directed before, so you had that skill set that you were able to apply to sketches.
Yeah.
And you brought that to the Lovely Boys.
Yeah, well, I was doing the editing mainly to start with.
Yeah.
And then, but Willie does a lot of it now as well on the phone.
On the app though, not on Prem Pro.
Yeah. But why not? You know, if you can just do it on the phone, do it on the phone.
Yeah, I just think, obviously Prem Pro is a million times better, but for the simple sketches, InShot will do the trick.
Yeah. So when you started putting these sketches out, was there any part of you that was kind of, I don't know, like, you know, you're putting something new out there into the world. Sometimes it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, like, oh, how are these going to be received? What will people think? Was there any, did you, any of that?
Every time.
Yeah. Every time?
Every sketch. Really? Pretty much. Yeah. There was a few I was just bulletproof. I was like, this is fucking funny. Put it out. But that was like one in every hundred.
Yeah.
Most of them I'm like, Ben, are we sure?
Yeah.
I don't know about this, Ben. I'm just like, I have to just get it out. As soon as possible.
I think the first, I don't know, however long it feels like that, but then after a while, it's less. And unless there's something when you watch it back and you're just like, is this something? Is it anything? I don't really know. If you don't feel that about it, you do feel a little bit like about putting it out. Sometimes you get surprised by the feedback and people like it. But most of the time, like if there's something we know, normally when we're filming it and we're laughing hard as we're doing it, that's when we know like we got something, we got a good one.
Yeah. And was the feedback immediate?
I can't remember. I feel like people were nice on Instagram.
It was good. So on Instagram, it was like we were getting really good feedback from comics, which was good. That was a good sign, I thought.
Yeah, like comics who we hadn't necessarily interacted with before, like obviously higher up than us or more professional. They were like, oh, they were like, a couple of them like, I don't watch sketches, I don't watch any content, but I'm enjoying yours. So it's like a few like little nuggets like that, which made us feel good and want to do more.
And then going out, once gigging started, going out gigging again, like just people coming up to us a lot to say they liked it from, you know, other stand-ups.
It's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah.
If someone comes up and says that.
Yeah. And then now more recently with like the TikTok stuff, it's more random. It's like I was in a builder's merchants last week, and the guy behind the counter was just looking at me, and he was like, "Where do I know you from?" And I was like, "I don't know. What you been watching?" He goes, "You on TikTok?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he did the face at me. He was like,
"Yes,
yeah."
That's got to feel good.
That was great. Yeah. And then he gave me a discount on the wood I was buying. I was like, is this because of TikTok? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, boy. Discount.
There you go. The benefits are kicking in already.
Yeah. Well, we've actually made, I know it's crude to talk about money, but we've made £12 on TikTok.
You have been sort of acting slightly differently. As like, yeah. I think it's gone to his head.
Yeah. I was like, quadruple shot latte.
Yeah. It's still encouraging though, isn't it? Because I don't know if you read, I'm sure you have, they're just introducing this new partner program now, TikTok. So they're basically going to go down the route that YouTube went down, where they're going to be sort of giving out ad revenue.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what, so I don't know. I don't know what
you're well placed like, to getting, make the millions.
We're getting the it's actually £14 now.
Ah, it's gone up.
We're getting, at the moment, that's pay for views. And I don't know what that even means, because there's no ads on it at the moment.
Similar. But, no, I think it's not the same. Yeah, it's exactly. It's just for views, but that will kick in soon.
But yeah, so, and there's different levels of criteria you meet. So once you get to a certain level, people can gift you, like,
coffee.
Send you gifts.
Oh, right.
Money gifts and
flowers, bouquets.
What the money that sort of equates to that item or actually send you flowers?
No, just like they want to donate to you, I guess. I don't know what. It's like a, I don't know.
It's like that.
Buy me a coffee thing.
Buy me a coffee, like, you know, the tip thing.
Right.
A lot of Twitter comedians do that.
Yeah, they're like, buy me a coffee.
Sean Burke uses that. I think maybe Rosie Holt as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Well, I think it's great. Why not?
It's good. Yeah.
But you feel like it's begging, don't you?
Begging. Is that begging? No.
I don't think it is.
We want, can you spare any change button on our. That's what we want.
Yeah. Can you personalize this coffee ones or something? What if you don't drink coffee, you know?
Just need an Ollie cup brand. to like take a shining to us and be like, do you want to come and live in our palace and make us laugh? I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. Just do the face every time we sort of ring a bell.
So we got a brief glimpse at the start of this in your creative process, but talk me through how you come up with an idea and then how you both agree on whether to go ahead with that idea.
It's not.
Does it turn into a situation where one of the lovely boys isn't so lovely? Or?
We have done a not so lovely boys sketch where we just like...
No, but I mean, does it ever turn into an argument between you both?
Often it's Willie being like... I don't know about this.
He's a tyrant. He's a tyrant.
I think I'm definitely harder to work with than Ben is.
Okay. Well, you're very laid back, Ben, aren't you?
I'm very laid back, yeah.
Ben's just up for everything and anything. I'm a bit more like, I don't know if I want to do the crutch thrusting sketch or whatever it is, or the naked massage sketch or
also,
whatever.
Also, if Willie gets physically harmed at all during the sketch, he's
sketch
out.
Is over. Like, I'm a delicate flower, basically. Been through the wars.
Yeah, I get it.
Whereas I think I'm like, I
Ben
think
just
maybe
chucks himself around. He's like, yeah, should I chuck myself off this like ledge onto the? I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm up for that. I'm even blocking him from doing things.
I think like when I was younger, I was like wanted to be a stuntman.
I was going
to
say, yeah, just be like you.
So I like it.
You're bit. Fulfilling those dreams.
Yeah, in a small way.
Yeah. Now go on, hit me with the axe. Go on, I'm fine.
Film it, content.
Yeah, I'm like, commit, Willie, commit to
commit,
it.
Commit, I know, it's I like can.
Going method.
Whatever he's hitting me with.
But the ideas just come from everyday life. So Ben walked into a comedy gig and we were mid-gig. Ben does the head nod upwards from across the room. I do it back and he did it back again, even harder. And I did it back again and grabbed my neck. And we're just like, oh, that's a sketch. Yeah. Just do that. It's normally very small things or
it's
feelings.
It's just a little, I don't know, like a human sort of, was it like a tick or whatever, or something that we acknowledge in each other, which is just like a...
That people
like,
do.
I don't know. It's just like a spark. We pick up on them and like, is that something?
Well, yeah. But then it's like you observe a trait and then exaggerate that trait and then repeat it.
Yeah, basically.
When we just got started, I was just like, because there's a lot of content out there, especially when lockdown hit, everyone was doing content.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at it all and I was like, oh, this is not for me. I don't want anything topical. I don't want anything kind of like trying to give a message across. I just want silly slapstick, non-topical, non-political, just complete and also wholesome, feel-good, romance-y. But Ben was like, yeah, it's exactly what I want. I want the content to make people feel good.
Yeah.
In a night, just feel like a little, even if it's a little smile, a smirk, not like, oh, I've just watched something really intelligent, really funny. It's just like, nah, just want something silly.
Yeah, that's your brand, isn't it? It's the lovely boy.
Yeah, I mean, we do do some ones where it's like it's not, we're not being like lovely to, or we're not being nice to each other sometimes, but that's funny as well. Like we like that. It's like we actually like it when people are, you know, like super arrogant. You know, like those are fun characters
Brilliant.
To play.
Yeah,
those
they're
are
the
fun
best
things to do. You know, if it's not real, those people are hilarious.
But it's almost like you can get away with doing all that kind of stuff now because you set yourself up within this sort of, you know, lovely environment, and so you can incorporate those characters in that because people still they're going to watch you. Guys, the lovely boys doing this character.
Yeah.
A couple of people have been on the comments though on TikTok. When we've done something a little bit not nice to each other,
not
so on ground. They're like, "This is
that's not lovely."
Yeah,
they
yeah.
say that's not so lovely.
But it's fine, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't care. Do what you think is funny.
Yeah,
and then you get the people who are, you know of similar, you know, similar mindset as your fans, I guess.
And how do you find? Because now, obviously, the last 3 weeks you've started releasing on TikTok. How do you find the two different platforms vary in terms of the audience and the feedback?
TikTok is a million times more interactive. It's like millions, thousands of comments being like, this is great. I love it when you did this bit. Oh, this is so wholesome. You guys are fucking shining a wholesome light on TikTok. All this like kind of nice comments on Insta. Your mum will be like, oh, lol. you might get 100 likes or something.
Yeah.
On TikTok, it's more active. It's more, it's a scene out there.
Yeah, it's kind of blown up a little bit. It's definitely.
You on how many? You started like 3 weeks ago, and you
20,000 followers now.
20,000 is incredible in like 3 weeks.
Sketches and transferring a few of the old ones, but yeah, it just feels better on there.
It's good that you had a bank. You can bank all the old ones. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These guys are machines. They're doing a new sketch every day.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
but
someone was saying TikTok will only be like this for another year or so. No. About a year, they said, before it completely changes.
Who said this, really?
Someone at TikTok.
Ah.
Yeah, they were like, we've got another year.
You in the biz?
I'm in the biz. No. I don't know why they said that. I think it's because it's only 2 years old, apparently. Yeah, 1 or 2 years old.
Is it?
It's about 2 years old.
No.
It's been for a while. I don't know exactly. Maybe just in the UK market. Wasn't it in China for a while? It's from China, isn't it?
Is it? I thought they weren't allowed to China. Be like free with their thoughts and emotions.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know, actually. I assumed it was. I thought ByteDance, the parent company, was Chinese. But Will's Googling it.
Jaina. I am Googling it.
And what's the verdict?
BT Wi-Fi.
Dead air.
It's owned by BT Wi-Fi.
Then we can edit this out.
Plot twist.
You guys talk.
Okay. So now that you've got, like, you know, a varying degree of online success, which you have, are you still motivated to perform live, to perform stand-up comedy as well?
Yeah, I like
both
it.
Of you. Yeah,
I really like it. I've done a few gigs at Top Secret now, and that's like, it's so fun to play in a room which is just up for it, and it's a proper comedy club, and it's just great. It feels so good. But at the moment, the level I'm at, I'm like, don't get to do those gigs too much at the moment. But yeah, it's like a drug, isn't it? You just chase that.
Chase that
high of when it's great.
Mm.
How
do you find schedule? How do you schedule your, I don't know, how do you schedule your day in terms of focusing on doing, you know, the content side of things, and then also all the admin that comes with stand-up, you know, booking gigs, writing, aside from writing material.
Yeah, it's hard.
I mean, I'm not, that's why I'm probably only gigging a couple of times a week, because it's just, you need, you know, you get your diary filled up and you're just like, yes, I've got my diary filled up, I can kick back.
Yeah.
But you just need to be doing it all the time. So I'm just like, I get just bursts of being like booking some gigs And then other times I'm just like, I'll message certain promoters on, you know, on the night or the day before and just be like, you got a spot.
Yeah.
And just like, if I can jump on.
Yeah. Same as you, Will?
Yeah, same. You get busy and then you're like, oh, I'll take the foot off the admin gas. And then it's up and down. 1 month busy, 1 month not busy.
It's hard to balance the both. And you've both got jobs as well.
Yeah.
You've got to pay the bills, dollar bills.
Pay the bills. And then we just film sketches, won't it? We just, check in, try and meet up at least once a week.
Yeah. Will you always meet up in person to discuss ideas? And
pretty much, yeah. Quite bad at discussing anything over the phone.
Yeah, it's not the same. Last long. It doesn't get very far, does it?
No.
Why do you think that is? You just need to be in person.
You just be there, kind of like.
Yeah.
Do it. And also, I make notes. You make notes as well. But gibberish. We just like read the notes out of our, inverted commas, ideas.
Yeah.
We're like, man, half smile, bakery. It's just like, what? Like, you just don't know what it is. Yeah. And you have to flesh it out again. It's like, half smile. What do I mean? The thin lip smile people do. Is that what I mean? Or
yeah.
Like, it's like a little British kind of rank smile that we all do. But yeah, the notes are gibberish. We need to just be like next to each other doing kind of weird movements and faces. And then as soon as we feel semi-confident, we'll like just start filming.
And will you write for the sketches that have dialogue in them? Do you write the scripts or will you improvise?
No, we don't.
All improvise?
Honestly, we got like ideas and then we kind of like, a lot of it is on the spot.
Yeah.
But we'd be like, oh, you say this now, record. And then the other person would be like, okay, you say this now, record.
That feel, but you can kind of sense that, I think, you know, in some of the sketches, because it just feels, I don't know, it feels fresh. Like sometimes if you're especially like acting, like if you are delivering a line over and over again, you just sort of lose the magic.
Yeah.
And then we can just watch the last person, what they said, and then just reply to that, exactly what we've seen on screen. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to write stuff down, really.
What? You've got your own way of doing it.
For a 20, 30-second Insta video or whatever, we don't.
Keep it nice and chill.
But it's the second anyone else is involved, I think we would crumble. If there was a cameraman there, it'd be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's much easier because we direct each other as well. Like, give it a little bit more, enthusiasm on that line or whatever.
It's great that you've got each other because so many people are just sort of filming sketches on their phone.
In their room on their own.
On their own.
We said this in lockdown. We're like, God, imagine just sat in your room on your own during lockdown, just making funny content. Ha ha ha. In my room. Ha ha ha. It's like, are you really ha 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 in?
It's like, where's that? Taking it to another level. Do you see Bo Burnham's Netflix special?
Oh, he read Nuclear.
Yeah, I mean, that's like...
I haven't seen it. I've just heard all of these
things. It's good. I thought it's a professional operation.
It's a laptop and it's an email notification just so I can just give off the impression that I am a very busy individual.
Yeah, making content solo. I've done it. I mean, you've done it with your interview bits.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't mind it, but I would rather do it with someone, bouncing ideas off.
It's much easier to tell what's good, isn't it, when you've got someone else there?
Mm. Yeah, because I usually like, is this funny? Am I funny?
We have that.
Should I be doing this? Yeah. What am I doing with my life?
I swear we have that anyway. I have it anyway.
Well, it's like when you write stand-up as well, like you think, oh, this is something, and then you go and do it in front of an audience, and they will tell you it's not.
Yeah.
Or it is, you know?
Yeah.
You don't know, so, you know, sometimes you're really confident in an idea.
Mm. Yeah.
Apparently it's not funny.
And often like it'll just be like the rhythm or I just needed to add this. If I just added this bit in height in this, then it sort of gets a laugh or something. It's just like
that's one of the reasons I love it, because you can just like there's these intricate little measurements that you can change and it makes something work, like in the way you say something, in the words you use, in the order of the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so that's you guys as lovely boys. And individually, you're both also doing separate projects. Ben, as you know, said before, you're a writer, director, and I don't know if we can talk about this or not, but you're currently writing a feature at the moment.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, it's off the boil a little bit at the minute because I'm writing it with my sister, and that's why I'm going out to LA next week, because she's got a gallery show out there at the Jeffrey Deitch Gallery. It's like a big deal.
So your sister is an artist and a filmmaker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's she started off as a photographer and then now she's a director. She still does both, but directing fashion videos, music videos.
Yeah.
And she gets a lot of offers for, other stuff, but she wants to do her own feature film first, which is what we're writing together.
How do you find... Yeah, how do you find like the process? What you guys do, it's so quick,
from doing lovely boys to a feature.
Well, just in terms of, with writing a script, it's such a long process. It's going back and forth. Whereas with what you're doing, you can like come up with an idea, it's out, then you get immediate feedback.
Yeah, I like the immediate feedback. It's so much more fun.
Yeah.
I find it quite hard to make myself sit down and write. But it's... I've never written a feature before. I've written short films, but a feature is just like, it's massive. It's so daunting to start with. Like, because also you don't know where, you don't know how it's concluding when you start out writing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and then it just changes so much and evolves. And we've gone back and forth with the production company that are in LA. So I think it's on the fourth draft now.
Yeah.
What's the latest?
The latest is that we're amending some notes that were given to us.
Okay.
But basically, we've ignored the notes and just changed everything. But so it's a completely different, it's not a different story, but it's had so much has changed that their original notes now don't apply. But they'll give us new notes now.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
But I'm happy.
Notes on the notes.
Yeah, but every time it gets better, so I'm happy with it.
Great,
with the way it's going, I don't know. It's so weird. Like when you walk away from something, you like lose confidence in it for sometimes. But then when I go back in and I read it again, I'm like, and this is good. Actually, this is good.
Mm.
So once my sister's got some time again, then we'll concentrate on that and, you know, try and get it to the next stage.
Yeah, that's exciting. And Will, outside of Lovely Boys, you are juggling acting. You do acting.
Tiny bit.
We do, there. We stay humble. We see you out there. And you're also a development producer mogul.
Look, starting a new job next week at BBC Studios Entertainment.
How do you find the
currently work seeker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Perfect. Hello, sorry to interrupt in the middle of this insightful conversation, which I'm enjoying, I'm sure, just as much as you are. But I need to give you guys a little reminder. If you like this conversation, this episode, if you like balancing acts in general, then please do subscribe to us, rate and review us, because it makes the world of difference. And the more reviews we get, the more rates we get, the more people can discover the podcast and we can make it go viral, whatever that means. Okay, back to the chat. How do you find sort of having one sort of, you know, one foot in that world, like as in, you know, behind the scenes doing that stuff, and then another foot as a performer as well? Do you find it as like a tricky tightrope act to do both, or are you kind of content just going, doing them both?
Feels good. Yeah.
Do you find they're complementary?
Definitely. I mean, I think someone did say to me, oh, you need to pick one and go with it.
What do people say?
I said, I passed it on to you. No, I said to you, someone said that, remember?
Yeah.
Were you advising him?
No, someone else said, yeah. It's not for you, Will. none of this is for you.
Somebody else said that to you and you passed it on?
Yeah, I passed it on. But we discussed it and we thought, well,
is that why you've been doing less stand-up?
Partly. I got an opportunity to write more, develop more sort of TV stuff over the last couple of years. So yeah. I really wanted to double down on that.
Right.
And try and, you
it
know,
is
focus
hard
a bit.
Because it does sap a lot of time. It saps a lot of brain energy, I think, doing stand-ups, doesn't it?
It does. But it's what I was saying before we start recording. I feel unless I'm generating, you know, enough new material to perform, I just don't want to go out there and just do tried and tested only after, you know, the same material I've been doing for however long, because that feels a bit of a waste to me. And the last one I did was the first one in ages. I did like probably, you know, 90% tried and tested and 10% new stuff. And that was worthwhile because at least you're doing some new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You find it useful being like working in TV and then also performing.
I used to work
acting.
In TV years ago. That was literally my first job, making tea and coffee.
And then
I worked on like comedy shows like Russell Howard's Good News, and I thought I was like nailing it, killing it, like early doors, and then had a long break for like 6 or 7 years. Really pushed the stand up in that time. Worked a million different jobs, and then I literally was working in a call center selling hearing aids during lockdown as well, when I was living with Ben. And then they furloughed me, which was nice, 100% paid, which was lovely to be furloughed from a job you hate.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ideal scenario. Mm. And then, someone at the BBC had my CV beginning of last year and said, do you want to go for a job? Would I lie to you? And I turned it down. I said, no, I've got my hearing aid job. And then, I was like, no, I'm stable. I'm not like a, because they said the contract's just under 2 months. I was like, oh, here we go, TV work. And then I spoke to Ben about it. Ben was like, what the fuck are you doing? And I called her back next day and said, sorry about yesterday. I was a bit hasty. Can I come for an interview? And she said, yep, did the interview. And then it just started rolling into more and more work. And then, starting a new job.
Was that me, Ben?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I don't even remember doing that.
Yeah, I remember I was like, oh, I've just had a chat with Would I Lie to You? And you were like, are you sure? Because I said no to them. I was outside your house on Lindsay Road. And then,
why did you think you initially turned it down? Was it
because I was in a full-time contract with the hearing aid people?
Was it purely because of that?
And I said to her, how long is the contract? And she said, under 2 months.
Right.
So I thought I would then leave a stable job to go and work under 2 months in TV and then be jobless. And I've been jobless in TV for like, it's bleak. So, but yes,
You took a leap of faith and it's paid off.
I said to the lady at BBC, I was like, been in TV and the work just dried up and
yeah,
it's quite hard, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, give it another go. So I've come back at it you know, more mature and probably way better. I was probably just a bit of a twat when I was like 22 working in TV, just like not really doing enough, not trying hard enough maybe. Anyway, so yeah, it's good now. I spoke to someone, I don't think I need to quit one to pursue the other, stand up or work in TV. Just do both and see what happens.
Yeah. I feel like doing comedy in general now is so different maybe to what it might have been for previous generations, where if you were a producer, you were just a producer. Or if you were a writer, you were just a writer. Like, the lines are all blurred now. I think that's partly to do with social media.
Yeah.
You know, where you can just create a sketch and then you are the actor, the writer, the director, in a sense, the producer as well. That's one thing. But, you know, then with the rise of also writer performers and who then end up being like some of them executive producer own shows, I think kind of anything goes and you can make it work.
You need to have more and more strings to your bow.
Definitely.
I remember applying for various jobs and then not applying because in the application, in the thing, it would say, oh yeah, the job is for this researcher, but also great if you've got edit experience and shooting experience and you make a mean cup of tea and you drive a van. It's like, for fuck's sake, like, what do you want? Like, you want a fucking magician?
It's true, though.
I can do a bit of research and I drive a car, not a van. It's just like, I don't know, they want everything now. You need to edit and shoot. And,
you do a lot.
And someone else would always get the job.
But then it's cool then, because what you're doing with Lovely Boys, you're learning to edit. And these are skills that you can now maybe apply into that side.
Editing on InShot.
But kind of like, you know, when you're shooting something, you shoot with an editor's eye, it's so helpful.
Yes.
I think, you know, you're not going to miss stuff out. You're thinking, you know what you want. Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know how things are going to transition. You know, it's a good skill to have, even if you're just editing on InShot. It's still you're still building up skill.
So best case scenario. What would you like to do, Lovely Boys? Where would you like to take it? What's your dream? What's the dream for it? What's the goal? Is this something that you haven't discussed between you? Is this be the first time? Or
we don't think that far ahead. We don't know what we're going to do for lunch.
That's good.
Yeah. We like to plan up to 2 to 3 hours ahead of time. That's how organised we are. I don't know. We put a treatment together and a pilot episode for a sitcom.
Okay.
Yeah,
we are not there yet in terms of a few things.
Do you know what? I think we could be, but it's just like you said, it's like we're doing so many other things that without like someone going like, We want to make a show with you. Write us a sitcom. So then you've got like more of a reason to write it. You put the time and effort into it. Then there's just not enough drive there because there's too many other things we're doing, I think.
We think focusing on the sketches just right now is good. But yeah, like, what did you say? Best dream set?
In an ideal world.
I would like to be paid to do this. And, you know, whether it's through like endorsements or, you know,
branded
stuff. Money boy.
A friend of ours turned down a branding thing offer of like, what was it, 30 grand for a vape?
No, I think it was actually more than that, as far as I know.
30 or 40 grand for a vape thing. And he said no, because it wasn't, I don't know, on his brand. Me and Ben were like, fucking pass that vape, boy.
Yeah,
I chain it. let's do it. We would do it.
I was in a vape ad a few years ago.
Were you?
A few years ago. Yeah, it was.
Before I knew it was terrible for your health.
I still stand by that ad.
Yeah.
I had to play this with this guy from like Texas.
They're always from Texas, aren't they?
I don't know what that's about.
Can you give us a little bit of your Texas accent?
Yeehaw! That's racist. As far as it's going. It's what, sorry?
I couldn't even say the word. Racist? Racist? Edit that out, Stephen.
Gone. Chopped. Done. Romeo done.
No, that's just the chair.
Okay.
Oh. It's okay. Right, so last time, Will, you and I met. Not met, as in last time you and I had a balancing acts conversation, because Will, you've been on this, you're a veteran on balancing acts.
What?
We had he came.
I have
solo.
Done one.
Oh, did you not, Ben, did you not know?
No,
I didn't.
Listen.
The tension in the building right now. So when we last spoke, we were in lockdown, and you guys hadn't started Lovely Boys at that point. I think I remember you saying that you really wanted to start doing more sketches, and we were talking about you had at that time a very militant morning routine and you were really enjoying it. Do you remember?
I was on a journey of self-discovery.
I think we all were.
Looking out for myself for once,
So what you did
in the loft at ours?
Okay. I talked to Natasha about it, not you.
Where are you at now in terms of outside of work? What are you doing? Are you still doing the same sort of things?
I was quite militant with 30 minutes stretching, 30 minutes meditation, 30 minutes writing.
That's it,
But I was actually realising it was irritating me trying to get to the 30-minute mark. So I put a timer on and then like 24 minutes, just checking out, fuck, is that timer on? And then 29 minutes, this is broken, this phone is broken. So basically that was making me resist, kind of. So basically I don't use the timer anymore.
Okay.
I would just do a chunk of
stretch. You're still doing all those acting.
Chunk of stretches, a chunk of writing.
That's nice.
Writing is just 2 pages of just free writing.
And you do that every day?
Yeah.
And is it sort of like whatever's
it's
in your head?
It's just journaling. So normally I just talk about the day before. Okay. Or if something fun's coming up, talk about the future.
Yeah.
And then a bit of meditation. But I don't put a timer on it anymore. That wasn't helpful.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit restrictive, doesn't it?
Yeah, a bit more like just do it. I'm so easily distracted.
Yeah.
Just be like anything. The second I start to do something, 10 things I need to do right now will pop into my head. Oh, I must just sort that sofa out or puff those cushions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But also, I feel like whenever you read like these sort of self-help tips or something like that, when you first try them, like the automatic reaction is to go really militant and follow it by the book. Right, if it says I have to do 30 minutes. Yeah.
29 and, just won't do.
Yeah. And then afterwards, it's just like, okay, I can just dip in and out of that. It's not, that's fine. Ben, you're looking at me a little bit blankly. I'm assuming is that not your vibe at all?
No, I don't really have any routines.
You don't have any routines, but you're big on your motorbiking and, tell me about that side of things. What do you do outside of all things comedy to relax and unwind and enjoy yourself?
To enjoy myself, it's motorbikes,
activities,
snowboarding, something that gets you like heart racing, sort of that kind of stuff.
You're an adrenaline junkie.
A little bit, yeah. I do like that. I came into Willy's on it today. I built this electric bike over Christmas, right?
You just built it from scratch?
I bought a kit and I had a bike and I put the kit onto the bike and it's like, you have to do a little bit of like, mechanical knowledge, not a lot really.
Yeah.
But it's got a 1500 watt motor on it and so it will do like 40 mile an hour. So I've been using that to like fly around London to get to gigs. And it's so fun. I love it. It's great. That's just like enhancing my just getting around, like just making every day getting around fun.
I'm without a bike because I've always had, a moped.
Yeah.
And I've been without one for the last year. And it makes such a difference. I'm really noticing it. I'm hopping onto the train instead of just jump on the bike, especially when the weather's like this, going to a meeting. Yeah. And always, I don't know about you, but I've always found that I come up with ideas while I'm driving on the bike. That's why I crash a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
You've written it off a few times.
I listen to music, so...
Why are you driving? What, do you have an earphone in?
Yeah, I have one earphone. I have the earphone in that's not on the side of the pavement.
Yeah.
So it gives me a little bit of an extra chance to hear.
Do you listen to the podcast?
On that bike, I'm going like faster than most of the traffic anyway, so nothing's coming up on me on the outside.
Right. Whoosh,
I'm whipping around. That motorbike, I just went to Brands Hatch last week on my bike for a track day. That was amazing.
Brands Hatch, as if we know what the fuck that is.
It's a race circuit, if you don't know what that is.
I really want to join, but I'm too scared to.
Did you know what Brands Hatch was?
Because of our previous conversation, because I've said that I would be up for doing it, but also I'm terrified about breaking my neck. Yeah, I've got a full bike license.
Okay,
can I come?
You can come when we do one of the off-road days in Wales.
Yeah?
You can come if you've got a license. Yeah, there's certain places which rent out bikes.
But you guys go really fast, right? So what? I mean, I'm going to be left.
No,
there'll be a trail of dust.
Have you done any off-road bike?
Never. No, yeah. Never. Never done that.
Maybe you should go do...
But it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, no, it's people will help you out and stuff.
Have you had any big injuries?
No, nothing big.
You come back battered, don't you?
I fall off-road, you fall off a lot. I fall off a lot.
Jesus.
But you've got armour on and stuff, but I'm not but normally it's technical stuff. You're not going fast when you fall off. I mean, you're trying to climb up like a rocky.
But you know what you're doing there, don't you? You
yeah.
know what you're doing.
But
the first time you ever tried doing it, what was it like?
Well, I kind of grew up riding motorbikes and off-road.
That's the thing. So you've got to kind of grow up with it. You can't just come no, willy-nilly at 40 years old.
I've got a Vespa in London.
There's a guy that came with us, a couple of years ago, who had only just started. He bought his own bike and he'd only done it like 6 months before.
Okay.
He'd been going off-road a little bit where he lives, and he came on with us on one of these trips. And he didn't do badly. You know, he was bringing up the rear, but he was falling off quite a bit, but he did it. You know, I think you're a quick learner. I reckon you could pick it up.
I'm up for it.
You should go do a day somewhere and get them to do just teach you off-road stuff.
Okay.
And then come on the weekend.
Okay, deal. Then I'm going to ask you this question first, and I'm going to ask you it again because you might have, I don't know, read some more books since we last spoke. Are you a reader, Ben?
Not massively. There are a few books which I've read and I loved.
Yeah.
And I really love reading a book which grips me, but I find hard to get into them or find ones that make me feel like that. But I also notice that when I am reading a book, my levels, my tolerance for concentration goes up. Like it helps
interesting.
Me concentrating on other things.
Oh, that's an interesting observation.
Yeah, so I it's something I seek to do more. But I tell you which book is great.
Go on.
If you haven't read it, it's a book called Adam Resnick Will Not Attend.
No.
And he's written on a bunch of shows in America, and he's just such a funny writer and like a neurotic Jewish guy. And it's his...
I think I like
Jewish books.
Yeah.
Because there's another one I read, Barry Sonnenfeld, Call Your Mother.
Are these fiction or non-fiction?
No, they're non-fiction. They're
okay.
Basically life stories.
I'm reading one of my David Sedaris. Do you know him?
I heard the name.
Oh, you'd really like him if you're into that.
Oh, can I borrow it after you?
Yeah, it's Amy Sedaris' brother.
Who's Amy Sedaris?
You know, from SNL's big, huge, from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, okay. Amy Sedaris.
Yeah, we'd recognise her. The name is ringing a bell.
Has she changed her name? Let me just check.
Bring up a photo of Amy Sedaris.
No, it's Amy Sedaris. Here, I'm going to show you right now.
We've got a producer.
Yeah. Guys, can we just bring up... Oh, no, I've got it wrong. It's...
Amy Poehler?
Amy Poehler.
Ouch.
Oh, wow.
All women look the same. I always thought
Amy...
Misogynistic.
I always thought Amy Poehler was... this has really floored me. I thought Amy Poehler was David.
Aren't you?
Is Amy? Yeah, I am definitely going to edit.
Don't keep it in. I like it.
Is David Sedaris' sister? No, it's not. That's so weird. You know, when you've been reading a book and then picturing someone the whole time, and it's not them.
So he's talking about his sister in it or something.
He's talking about his sister, who is a comedy actress called Amy Sedaris. Let's bring her up.
Let's see what she actually looks like.
Just not Amy Poehler.
This is Amy Sedaris. She was in school. Look, she's been in loads of stuff,
right.
But she's not Amy Poehler.
Poehler.
Anyway, I digress. But it's a good book. It's very sort of, again, he's a neurotic Jew and he's very observant.
Not
about the Jewish faith, but just his observations.
Yeah. Everything, like, I just like that filter that life, when life goes through a neurotic Jewish filter, I like that.
Well, it's funny you say that because I remember the first time you and I met, and I think it was at TNT.
Yeah.
And you were doing a bit about your Jewish mum.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I get it, I can relate, fully relate.
Is your mum like that? Is she mothering still?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Very mothering about
you love it.
About
you love it.
Does she worry?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's, of course. I mean, I'm working comedy and sort of this. It's not, you know, it's not a stable life, is it?
No.
In a sense. You know, like if all the career choices we could have gone for, this isn't
doctor, scientist,
yeah,
teacher.
No, I mean, that aside, she doesn't really care about that sort of thing. But yeah, it's just the Jewish mums, they've got a reputation for a reason, don't they?
Mine's like,
does yours worry?
Yeah,
fuck. Well, mate, consider about how does your mum deal with the motorbike stuff?
She's actually okay. I mean, I see her, like, she's just like, just be careful and. You know,
just be careful, Ben.
But and basically, whenever I'm like, I'm gonna go on the bike. She's like, "What?
it looks like maybe it's going to rain.
Just gently trying to stop you.
All these like different reasons.
Have some food. I'm going to do a lovely little snacky.
Yeah. My dad also drives a motorbike as well, so she's doubly worried all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dangerous pastime, but that's
what I live a dangerous life.
Yeah, my middle lane is dangerous pastime.
Does your mum sort of text you every day, checking in?
No, she's quite good at that.
FaceTime.
I speak to my parents a lot, but I do that. My dad calls me quite a lot. My mum doesn't call me. I'm textable.
Will just mouth every day.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Ben just answers the phone whenever, like mid sketch. It doesn't matter what he's doing. That phone is getting answered, and he would talk to his dad normally about tech support.
Yeah, like Benny, how do I download this to Facebook?
Yeah.
Is your dad Israeli?
Yeah.
He's Israeli, okay.
Yeah. He just talks weird.
Yeah, he's had a stroke.
Like, Benny, I'm on Poker Stars. How do I put my money from the game into my life?
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of tech support.
I was the same on occasion as well. Although I'm terrible with tech as well. So
I
have to end up giving it to my girlfriend.
It's so hard to maintain calm, you know, and be like a good teacher teaching. Yeah. Like if you're an actual like person teaching IT to someone and you did it in the same way you do to your parents. I remember telling my mum once, I was like, she's going, I can't find this file. I can't find where the word is on the creature. I go, there should be an icon. If you open up documents, so there should be an icon with a W in it. I'm like, have you got that window open? And she's like, window. Is there like a box? Is there a W in it? I go, can you see that icon? And basically at the end of it, I go, the icon, the fucking icon. Yeah.
Oh God.
And she doesn't know what icon means.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah, I'm better at it now because it's like, that's going to happen to me. That's going to happen to us.
Yeah,
there's
going
to be some kind of mad shit that's going to be new that I'm going to have to ask Che how it works.
I feel this is a lovely boy's sketch in the making,
getting frustrated with each other.
Yeah, one of you advising the other one on tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I charge this up?
So, okay. I've lost my trail of thought now. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, are both of your parents supportive your comedy endeavours? And if so, have they seen you perform and what was their feedback or thoughts?
Yeah, I think they're supportive, but you wouldn't really want... My mum's been to a few gigs early doors. She was great. My dad's been to like one. Quite tricky. I think it was quite tricky for him.
Why was it tricky?
I don't know.
Jealousy, maybe.
No, I don't know. I think he finds that kind of thing hard. He finds like sort of compliments and nice words tricky. Afterwards, I remember, yeah. No, it's good. You could talk about Trump or something, maybe. he didn't support Trump, but he just gave his ideas.
Has he seen the Lovely Boys sketches?
Yeah.
I think this is the thing which they've kind of like hooked onto and like are actually into a bit. Like your dad's into it, isn't he?
Mm.
Lovely Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes
But he won't say
it to me. He'll big it up to all of his friends saying, Willie's doing so well, he's making lots of sketches. And like really big it up, hype it up to his friends, but would never say it directly to me.
How do you find out?
I've heard from the friends, John so loves your sketches. John says you're doing so well at work or like such a killing at the stand-up. You would always be indirectly. He can't do it to me.
That's a shame.
It's a shame, but it's him and his dad. Probably pretty hardcore.
Right. Yeah.
I remember the proudest I think my dad has been of me is when I managed to secure 6 free bags of coal. Once, right?
Yeah, your dad nearly had a breakdown.
Yeah, he doesn't speak out the appreciation. Although he has done a little bit with these like with the sketches. For some reason that's sort of connected.
I remember.
Do you know what? But maybe do you think it's because like tangibly they can see the amount of people who are liking it and the followers you've got, that, oh, it's impressive. My son's got 17,000-20,000 followers.
No, I don't think he even knows what a follower is.
No. All right, okay.
But I remember when we first started doing sketches and there was a couple that resonated with people. They were like really lovely sketches, as in made people feel good, whatever. And yeah, I remember your dad saying he loved it and saying well done to your
son. The face one. Because they were doing people with, my dad was doing the faces with his mates.
With his mates, yeah. Kind of like peeking face.
You've got to love that. That's lovely.
Yeah.
That is really nice.
That's been a real like thing. It's like the guy in the builders merchants did the face, and like people were doing the face. It's like it's fun. Yeah. I guess it's like a catchphrase.
Like Ben's kid Che does the face, who's like five. And it's like age non-specific. Is that the correct word?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a really good point in terms of what you're doing. It's very inclusive comedy.
Yeah. It's accessible by many.
It's accessible.
Yeah, I hope it's not broad.
Broad. You love broads.
Yeah, I do.
What buzzwords can we use?
Women's, what's it called? Deodorant.
Tenneling.
Oh, yeah. You run out? Did you run out?
No, I love the smell of women.
Yeah.
And I like, you just wanted to recreate that.
I thought you smelled a bit funny this morning.
Did you?
Hmm. Which brand did you go for?
I don't know. It was on the shelf at home.
I've done that before, sure. But I've run out. I haven't proactively made the decision.
I don't actually wear deodorant anymore.
Wow.
Because I didn't have time to shower today. So I treat myself.
Why don't you wear deodorant anymore?
Because it's chemicals. It's not good for me.
Oh, really? You're going down that road now?
Yeah. I mean, as much as I can. I can take out of my life that is not good for me, I'll
what else? Fluoride?
Processed
fluoride
food.
Toothbrush?
Huh?
Toothpaste? Fluoride toothpaste?
Have you got special toothpaste?
I've tried that, but my teeth don't feel clean enough afterwards.
No. So processed food, that's gone?
Not completely gone, but mainly, yeah.
Vegetarian?
Vegan? No. I eat a lot less meat than I used to since I was with Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel better for that, because also like I was thinking about it, like a lot of people eat meat 3 times a day,
okay,
you know, for every meal,
for
and you're not supposed to.
No.
Like if you think we're like hunter gatherers,
you would have to be. Will thinking about the burger place we went to in Newcastle.
What's that?
It's called Meat Stack.
You two went to it.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah,
I've fallen off the vegan wagon.
Oh, you were vegan for how long?
For a couple of years.
20 minutes.
Couple of years. And what made you fall off?
People's telling me I look gaunt and was I ill?
Yeah, really? I don't think it's good for you. I mean, I think also like meat 3 times a day ain't good for you either.
No. It's got to be, yeah, a balancing act.
Balance.
Yeah. Ooh.
You like that?
Call really? Back.
So you're saying about the caveman?
Well, yeah, if you think we've evolved to, if you were a caveman that was eating meat 3 times a day, you're fucking amazing at it, right? Amazing at being a caveman. You're not catching food, meat 3 times a day, are you? You're catching
now.
It. No, I mean, if you're back in cavemen, like we've evolved to eat meat as much as you can probably catch it, you know?
Mm.
And you're not catching meat 3 times a day.
I'm catching anything.
I think you catch it once a day.
I don't think you'd even catch it once a day.
Really?
I think it'd be like a few days.
Yeah.
Depends where you live, doesn't it?
It does depend where you live.
Depends where you live, how many.
What do you think they're eating, though? Grass. Who? You're talking about cavemen, right?
Cavemen.
Yeah, like roots, you know, veg, roots. Nuts, berries.
Hmm.
So is that what you're eating at the moment?
It's a caveman diet. Isn't that what they called? Wasn't a paleo diet meant to be like caveman
paleo.
Diet? Paleo. Paleo, even.
I think
yeah.
So, yeah. I think it was
but that one's ridiculous. Base. I had a friend of mine who was just eating steaks 3 times a day. I feel tremendous. And then close to a heart attack after that.
I think any diet is bad. You know what I mean? Like anything like, oh, I'm just doing this now. I'm just doing that.
Like a fad.
I'm just like.
Anything extreme. Like,
yeah. I don't eat as much meat as I used to, and I eat good meats when I eat it.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Will? How are you food-wise, health-wise?
I'm okay. I just eat what I want.
When you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we live now in a society where all these different diets are, you know, pushed upon you. Should be doing this, and this. It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Good quality stuff.
What?
Just good quality stuff.
Yeah, just good quality stuff, mate. Final question. I'm going to wrap this up now, guys. It's been a very lovely conversation with two very lovely boys. Will, I know I've asked you this question before, but it might have changed for you.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you first.
Tory. No, I'm joking.
Well,
no, what is the question?
What does the idea of balance mean to you or not?
Balance is a lovely, lovely thing. Everything in moderation. I don't know. Do your hobbies, do your loves, do the hard shit as well. Like, I don't know.
Balance it all out. Like your diet, like you're saying about the diet.
Journaling and meditation. Don't drink too much, but at the same time, go and get fucked up when you need to. I just want to do it all, but not in excess.
Yeah, great answer. Ben?
I feel like I'm not like a... I don't have an addictive personality, so I think I'm naturally quite balanced.
Oh, so lucky.
But you know, I am envious of some people that have addictive personalities because then they can really like throw themselves into something and focus on it.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Which I find hard to do. But then I love doing lots of different things. Balance is. I think it's about trying to seek out what makes you, what's fun, what makes you happy, and then, you know, but not to the detriment of others around you.
That's a very lovely answer.
So being like, you know, doing the family stuff that you need to do, but also like always trying to seek out what makes you happy. Not saying that family doesn't make you happy. Just put that out there.
Yeah. By the way, if anyone can pick up outside, there's a nursery school below.
I saw that.
Below the flat. So that's, they're outside playing now.
In the same building?
Below. So if they're not all in the, they might sound like they're all in the flat right now in my apartment.
A live podcast.
Yeah. With kids just screaming around everywhere. Yeah. Finally, for people that have heard about you for the first time, where can they follow you on the social medias?
Let's go TikTok and search for The Lovely Boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instagram is at The Lovely Boys. And I feel like we may as well plug, we don't know dates yet, but I think we're going to do a small run at Camden Fringe.
Camden Fringe
as Festival. The Lovely Boys.
As a double-headed stand-up.
Double-headed, separate.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's this summer.
That's this summer. August.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's hot off the press.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Will and Ben, you're both very lovely boys, and this has been a very lovely conversation. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.